I like to stay in one text because that's easier to keep track of. I'm going to title this message this evening, How to Have a Strong Church. How to have a strong church. And that, as a pastor, that's what you want more than anything there is. You want your church to be strong. You want your church to have to know the doctrinal truth of the church. I think that's important that you know what we stand for. I think it's important that you know what you believe and know what you stand for and be able to show the truth in the Scriptures. All God's people say it. We all should be able to do that. And because there'll be people and there'll be times that people will ask you questions and you should know how to give a what? How to give an answer. You want to be able to give an answer and be able to explain it and share it with them so they can have the same truth in your heart as you have in theirs. So I think it's important that you have that. So I don't know. This is one of those times where you have a message you had down and I had two at the same time. When you get two at the same time, it's awful. So what I decided to do is I'm going to preach both of them this evening. No, I'm not going to do that. I just decided to preach one. So message title, How to Have a Strong Church. We want to be strong, and we want to be a lighthouse in this community. We want people to, and when God's people, when we leave the church house and we go out to your respective jobs, we would hope that our people would represent their church well. All God's people say it. You wanna have a good testimony in the community, but you're the testimony. It's just not one people. We want to have a testimony in this community, and I think it's good to have that. People need to know that you're born again, and people need to know you walk the walk. You don't walk the walk, it ain't worth nothing. You need to walk the walk, and people should be able to see that in you. All right, to have a strong church, you must have the true gospel. Let's turn to Romans 1:16. I'm going to try to get all of this in. Romans 1 and verse 16. If you can't find things fast in your Bible, and then don't worry about it. You can write it down, the verses, if you'd like, and you can look them up later. But I want you to get all of this evening. To have a strong church, you must have the true what? You must have the true gospel. Romans 1 and in verse 6. Well, let's go ahead and move on up just a little bit. Verse 15. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed. See what it says? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power. He says it's the power of God, the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the what? To the Greek. Yeah, to the Gentile too. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. We'd be on the outside looking in if it wasn't for God's grace of bringing in us that were, what again, Gentiles. I'm so thankful to God for that. Now, because of that, we have a place, don't we? And we have a home also. We have a home in the Father's house, too. And he's took us, an old Gentile, rotten, no good for nothing person like Jeff Arthur, and he's brought me in, washed me clean, and gave me everlasting life. That's what he did. And I'm forever grateful for that. If I got what I deserved, the earth would open up and I'd slide right into hell. But God bestowed upon me his amazing grace. And I like that. And I love him so for that. Okay? To have a strong church, you must have the true gospel. Do y'all believe it? Now, beloved, there's only one true gospel. There's only one true gospel, and I've just read it to you. It says not to be ashamed of the gospel. That's one thing, and I'm afraid there's a lot of people that are. There's a lot of people that profess faith that seem like they never share it. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but when's the last time you shared a gospel with a lost person? When's the last time you've done it? One of the things I do, I pray for souls. Do you? I pray for doors of utterance is what I pray for. I say, Lord, open up a door of utterance that I may share the gospel with somebody today. And I pray it, and then I'll pray it a little bit more, and then I look for it. I look for it. And it's amazing when you pray for it. You know, the Bible says you have not because you what? Well, that same thing is true with regard to seeking to win souls. You have not because you what? You ask not, man. You need to ask. Ask the Lord to open up a door of utterance so that you can share Jesus with someone. And it'll surprise you. When me and Stewie worked on the loading dock, and we loaded trucks, and one of the things, and that was such a blessing to me. Do you know why it was? Because a lot of the truck drivers would come in. A lot of did, wouldn't they? A lot of all the truck drivers would come in, and they'd have to talk to me or Stewie. And one of the things we would do is we would tell them about who. Yeah. And what I'd do, I remember I had my Bible laying up here. I laid my Bible. I didn't say anything about it. I mean, I used it to study from, but I laid it up there and let them so they could see it. And then right off the bat, they said, well, I see you got a Bible here. I see you got a Bible here. And they would ask, are you a, and they would do all the questioning. I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a Baptist preacher from down in Bancroft, West Virginia. Are you a Christian? Have you trusted Jesus? And then we go on and on and on. And we got to witness to a lot of people that way, didn't we? Work that way. And that's how it should be. To have a strong church, you must have the true gospel. But, beloved, I want to tell you something. You need to share that gospel. It's just not the preacher that shares it. The whole church must share it. Different families here today, right? Different people here today. You need to share it. You know what you need? You need to share it with your children. You need to share it with your children. Your children need it. You know what? A parent wants more than anything else, a safe parent. They want to see their children saved. More than anything in this world. If I had $1 trillion and I could trade that for that, I'd do it. Would you? Because there's nothing any greater than having everlasting life, and that's what we want our children to have. But we have to do what? To have a strong church, you must have the right gospel. Beloved, there's only one gospel. Do y'all agree? One. There's not 10 gospels. There's one. And that's given in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, and I've given it to you a trillion times, but this is the gospel. You say you do it all the time. Good. You should say thank you, Pastor, for doing that all the time, because you need to know what the gospel is, and you need to be able to share it with other people. And if somebody asks you about it, you should be able to tell them. I mean, you shouldn't have to say, well, let's go get the preacher and let him tell how I believe. You need to know what you believe, and you need to know where to find it. Scripture and verse, so that you can share it with other people. You see, we're warriors. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We come into worship, but we leave out of here to serve. God expects us to do that. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? The gospel. The word gospel means it's good news. Oh, my, the gospel is good news. Which I have preached to you. He preached the gospel. Now, Paul got the message. Who did Paul get the message from? I'm asking. Direct from God. Direct from Jesus. And this message is right here, and it's wrote down in these four verses. Moreover, brother, not declaring to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received. How do you get saved? You receive the gospel. You ask the Lord to save you. You call upon his name and say, Lord, I want to be saved. And he'll give you everlasting life. Got to have it. All right. Got to receive it. Verse 2. By which ye also are saved. By which ye also are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in what? I don't want to get off on this. But there is a lot of people that made a profession, but their belief is in vain. And you know what I mean by that? It never changed them. Beloved, I look for a change when someone's born again. I look for a change in it. Old things pass away, all things become what again? New. If you ain't new, there's something wrong with it. And it will be new. I'm going to tell you this anyway. I told you to a million times. But my old football coach was Dick Darby. And I stayed in trouble when I was in high school. But one of the things, when I started serving the Lord, when I was in maybe 13, 14 years old, one of the things that I did is I quit getting in trouble. I always got in trouble. Imagine that. I still get in trouble here, don't I? Imagine that. But I got in trouble all the time. But things were changing. And that's what the Lord did to me. He changed me. I quit getting thrown out of class. I quit fighting. I quit causing all kinds of trouble. I quit doing all those kinds of things. What happened? Well, the gospel saved me. And when the gospel saves you, it changes you. It changes you. And that's what happened. It changed me. Old Coach Darby said, I loved him so much. Old Coach Darby said he went to different classes that I was in. And he says, Jeff Arthur in there? He said, yeah. And Coach Darby said, is he different in your class? You see a difference in him? And he said, yes, he is. He went to another one, and yes, he's different now. He's not like he was before. You know what that is, don't you? That's God's grace. That's what he does when he saves you. Old things pass away, and all things becomes what? New, man. We look for people to be new. I get nervous when people claim to be saved and they're not new. I get nervous all over about that. I think there's a lot of people that have a dead faith. It's deader than a doornail. They don't have no desire for spiritual things. They live for the things of the world. They don't care about the spiritual things at all. Man, when you're born again, you want to be close to Jesus and you want to serve Jesus all your days. That's why it's so very, very important. Okay? All right. To have a strong church, you must have the true what again? The true gospel. You must have the true gospel. Number two, to have a strong church, you must have the grace message. You must have the grace message. We are saved by what?
Grace.
Saved by grace. I like to use the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. Love it. Love it. God's riches at Christ's expense. To have a strong church, you must have the grace message. We are saved by grace. We ain't saved by our works. We ain't saved by our deeds. Now listen to me. We do good deeds. We seek to live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. But we do that because we love Jesus. We're not doing that in order to get saved. That's the biggest difference. All kinds of false churches. Everybody isn't the same. I've been told for 42 years, You think you're the only one saved. No, I don't. I think anybody that's trusted the blood of Jesus Christ is saved. But if you've trusted a false gospel, I'll tell you that you've trusted a false gospel. And those that have trusted a false gospel, when they realize that there's a true gospel and they see it, they'll thank you for it. All God's people see it. Must be done that way. All right. To have a strong church, you must have the true gospel. To have a strong church, you also must have the what else? You must have the grace message. I wouldn't call it a true church that didn't have the grace message. I think it has to be that way. To have a strong church, number three, let's turn to Galatians chapter 1. I read a little bit of this a little while ago. I want to read it to again, get caught back up. To have a strong church, you must recognize a perverted gospel. I wanted to give you that. Now, I want you, if you write in your Bible, I want you to write this down or circle it if you haven't. I want you to notice how many times it uses this terminology. Verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from me, from him that called you into the grace of Christ, into another what? See, another gospel. All right, now he takes the time to explain that to us for a little bit. He goes, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. There is no other gospel. There's only what? One. I just give you the definition for it for 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That's the grace. We got the grace message and we got the true what? Grace message and the true what? You got to have the true gospel and the grace message. You must have that. You must have it, and you must have an understanding of that. You must have an understanding of that. Okay? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let them be what? Anathema. Damned. That's strong language, isn't it? Though we are an angel, or the word angel can also mean messenger, but though we are a messenger from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, and that which we have preached unto you, let them be a what? Accursed. Those that preach a false gospel are accursed. He says it in verse 8, and he turns around in verse 9 and says it again. Why does he say it twice? Emphasis. Emphasis. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel, then if any man preach any other gospel unto you, than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Beloved, that means God's people need to make a stand. Sometimes we worry too much what people think about us. Really, worry too much about what people think about us. Beloved, the gospel's the gospel and the truth's the truth. And God's people must make a strong stand for it. How to have a strong church? To have a strong church, you have to have a strong church. You must have the gospel message. To have a strong church, you must have the grace message. To have a strong church, you must recognize what a perverted message is and make a stand for it. And make a stand for it. All God's people say it. Matthew 7:22. I wrote that down and I can't remember why I wrote it down. You ever do that? Zach, you ever do that? Don't that just Matthew chapter 7. All right. 21 through 23. not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. There would be a lot of people that think they're saved that are not. Y'all agree? According to this text. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What's the will of the Father? The will of the Father is that you trust in his Son. That's the will of the Father. Many, everybody say many, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name, and in your name casted out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And I want you to listen to what Jesus is going to say. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Oh, man, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's a frightening text, isn't it? That's a frightening text. Here's people that thought they were saved, but they weren't. And sometimes while that happens, it's because they trusted in a false what? Gospel. Wrong. They went down the wrong road. They didn't go down the narrow road. They went down the wide road that leads to destruction. That's what they did. And people do it all the time. People do it all the time. All right. I think I'm going to close with this. Well, I got so much on the back page. I got more on the back page than I have on the front page. Number four, to have a strong church, you must live sober, righteous, and godly. It doesn't mention that. Sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. Let's go to Titus. I have to get this done. I can't cut it. If I cut it, it's going to mess it all up. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1:16. I want you to listen to some of these words I'm about to read to you. Titus 1:16. And see if you know anybody like this. See if you know anybody like this. It says, they profess that they know God. They profess that they know God. But in works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and to every good work a reprobate. Boy, that's strong. That's strong. Do y'all agree that's strong? That's strong stuff right there. And it's intended to be that way. Profess to know him, but in their conduct, you couldn't tell it. Just couldn't tell it. You just don't show it. There's no fruit there. Just no fruit there. There's something wrong with it. Titus 2:12 says, Titus 2 and verse 12, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live how? How should we live? How should we live in this world? What's it say? We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, God's people say it. And that's what's the problem. There's a lot of people that claim faith and claim to be saved, but they don't walk the walk. They don't live the life. They don't study, they don't pray, and they don't care. I'm sorry, that agitates me. This is a big deal. You got to know you're born again. You got to know you truly trusted Jesus. But beloved, it has to be real. It has to be the real thing. Okay? All right. Titus 3:5. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God be careful to maintain good what? You said, Pastor, you said you don't believe in it. Yes, I do believe in good works. I believe in doing good works. When you've trusted Jesus, you'll want to do good works. You want to represent your King will. What I'm saying is you're not saved by your works. That's a big difference. You're not saved by your deeds. We're saved by grace. We're saved by His grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. All right. To have a strong church, you must have the true gospel. To have a strong church, you must have the grace message. To have a strong church, you must recognize a perverted gospel. To have a strong church, you must, I'll give you those three in Titus 1:16, Titus 2:12, Titus 3:5. To have a strong church, you must live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. Number five, to have a strong church, you must avoid foolish questions. Can God make a rock so heavy that He can't lift it? I figure He could, but that's just goofiness. God can do anything. He can do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. People take questions like this to try to stump people up and get them involved in stuff that don't make no difference. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. Avoid foolish questions. Can God create a rock so heavy that He cannot lift it? Unlearned questions. What's important? When they give me stuff like it, I said, well, the most important thing is that you trust Jesus. That's just, I said, well, I don't know about that rock you got there. Do you got a rock out there or something? But that rock you're talking about, the most important thing, have you trusted Jesus? I always flip it. I flip it and flip it and flip it. God's in control of all things, and God saves souls. But these questions is just nothing but to get you running down a rabbit trail. State a task. All right, I just got two more and I'm going to quit. To have a strong church, the whole church should be faithful in attendance, in giving, and in encouragement. Man, that helps everybody. That helps everybody. Last of all, Acts 17 and verse 11. Let's turn to that, and then we'll close with this one. Acts 17, verse 11. I can't believe I moved that fast, but I left a little bit on the plate, but we'll get that some other time. Acts 17. Acts 17 and the verse 10 and 11. And the brethren, Paul was at Berea. Have y'all heard of the Berean Bible students? Everybody's heard of the Berean Bible students. Now listen to this. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas one night unto Berea, who coming thither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more noble. They were more noble. They knew more. I think it's closer to the Lord. When you're more noble, you're a little bit more closer to the Lord. I believe that. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received, listen now, they received the word with readiness of mind. And then they searched the scriptures daily to see whether it's so. Oh, God's people see it. You know what God did for us? He gave us our own book. In history, this is one of the most unique times ever. You go back 2,000 years ago, people didn't have their own Bible. How blessed we are, but you know people still don't use it or read it or even come and hear about it. Or even come and hear about it. Let's all stand. Thank you. We'll stop with that. want to get work back up again.